Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 27 of the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. I'm your host, Brian Sippets. You can reach me at HockeyStrengthPodcast@gmail.com. Check out HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, the web's greatest resource for training hockey players. We now have over 800 articles, videos, programs, and webinars all geared towards the training of hockey players. So you're going to have tons of great information about how to improve performance in hockey players. We want healthier, stronger, more explosive athletes, and that's what our site's dedicated to, and that's what our content is geared towards. You can check out HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com for just $1 for the first 7 days. After that, it's going to be $14.95 a month, or you can get 2 months free if you sign up for the year for just $147. On today's episode, we're very lucky to have Maria Mountain from Revolution Conditioning in London, Ontario. Aside from having Revolution Conditioning, Maria also has a large web following at HockeyTrainingPro and GoalieTrainingPro.com. Maria is one of the best in the business, and she's really done a great job with the goalies and has really fallen into that niche and done a great job there. So we're going to chat about that. We're also going to talk a little bit about what it's like to coach on the internet and see what the downfalls are and see what the benefits are of that. So we were looking forward to talking to Maria. She's one of the greatest people in this business. So let's not wait any longer. Let's get on the phone with Coach Maria Mountain. All right, I'm on the phone with Maria Mountain from Revolution Conditioning in London, Ontario. Maria, we're so excited to have you on today. I can't believe we haven't had you on just yet. You've been a great contributor to our site, but thanks for joining us today. We're excited to talk.
Thanks, Brian. It's great. Yeah, great to join you.
I can't believe you've slipped through the cracks thus far, not only because, number one, you're one of the nicer people on the planet. Number two, I think you're one of the most knowledgeable and one of the most successful coaches of hockey players that we have out there. So really a great resource for us. And you've kind of found yourself in the last couple of years here kind of fulfilling the role of filling that niche for goaltenders. Talk a little bit about how you ended up kind of going in that direction. Did you just see a need that was, that needed to be addressed or fulfilled?
No, I don't think I saw it as much as I was told it pretty clearly. So let me explain. So I started HockeyTrainingPro.com, which is my online life, and did training for, because I train in the gym. I work with skaters and goalies, and I. Would share content, training ideas, and any time I shared content that was goalie specific, I just got a huge response from the goalies, and it really opened my eyes to the fact that they weren't getting any of this, and they were thirsty for it because, number one, it helped them perform better, and number two, it helped reduce the risk of injuries. I've had a special passion for training goalies for probably 15 years. And one of the first goalies I ever trained was Jeff Hackett, and he was playing for Montreal at the time. And he really took a lot of time. So he'd had shoulder surgery during the off season. And so we spent a lot of time together, when I worked as an exercise specialist at the Fowler Kennedy Sport Medicine Clinic. And he took the time to sort of explain a lot about the position and how it was changing. And at that time, the butterfly was sort of a new thing. And so, for me, from a biomechanical, physiological, anatomical perspective, it was like, oh, this is so cool. It's like I honestly feel like a kid in a candy store when I'm training a goalie because there are so many things that we can work on. So then when I started sharing that content and getting great input from goalies and then questions from goalies about, well, what about this and what about that, it really just it deepened that passion. So that's how I got to be the goalie girl.
Well, you know, I think you've certainly become a go-to in that area, and I know quite a few goalies who are following what you do, and you do great work there. And I think, you know, on the, you mentioned the butterfly. I mean, that had to be a game changer for, especially for training. I mean, really separating the needs of a goalie from a player. And I think a lot of times too, we see in practice, I know I'm guilty of it myself. If I'm coaching a team, I was not a goalie, and you know, I'm worried about the, what's happening with the team. So a lot of times I don't consider goalies in planning a practice, or, you know, and I guess it's the same thing maybe in the gym. Aside from giving them the shorter stride board, there's really, you know, I don't make any special considerations. So, you know, what kind of special considerations are there? What are you doing differently with the goalies that maybe you wouldn't address with a player?
Yeah, it's neat too, because it isn't, you know, it's a pendulum here, and some people swing way too far from the pendulum. You see videos, or I see videos on YouTube of, you know, goalies standing on a stability ball and juggling and squatting and jumping on a ball and, you know, and saying this is goalie training, which I don't agree with that. And then the other end of the pendulum is, goalies don't need anything else. They just need to be strong, just like everybody else. And I don't really buy into that either. So it's really this sort of 20-30% where we're going to modify. So yeah, they need to be great athletes, period. And so, you know, whether it's a hockey player, a soccer player, you know, a skater, a defenseman, a goalie, they need to be a good athlete. But then we need to sprinkle in these specific things they need. So, for example, I get probably 3 emails a week from goalies who are having medial knee pain or strain on their medial side of their knee. So they'll say, you know, they'll tell me, you know, my MCL hurts. Okay, well, so we look at that, or their ankle will be sore when they're in a reverse VH or something. So they'll say, well, you know, tell me what you do for mobility. Well, number one, a lot of them, it's surprising, don't do any mobility on a consistent basis. Other ones will, you know, do, like try to get in the splits, do some hamstring, maybe a hip flexor, but they stretch, no hip internal rotation whatsoever. So, you know, getting that hip internal rotation, not trying to force it if they don't have it, you know, but trying to get what they have in their hip joint so they can use that. And then they're not torquing on their knee and putting strain on the medial aspect of the knee and putting compression on the lateral aspect. So, you know, that's a big one, just getting them to do a consistent strategic mobility routine. They think if they do some stretches that, you know, that's what they need, but it needs to be a lot more specific than that. Another big area, and I work with some major league pitchers as well, and it's like you won't find a pitcher who doesn't do maintenance work for the rotator cuff, or I haven't found one. Now, some of the times what they do is a little bit, yeah, but, you know, they're doing something. But goalies don't see their hips the way a pitcher sees their shoulder. So, you know, just using some of the Dr. Andrea Ospina's FRC work on the hip and, you know, teaching them to have really good, precise control at that hip joint so that, you know, it's not just slopping around. It's got stability and stamina and keep it under control like that. So those are two of the big ones from a mobility perspective. Do you want me to chat a little bit about energy system or strength or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you brought up a great point there about the hip girl and the rotator cuffs being really kind of congruent between the shoulder and the hips. Very rarely do people think about it that way, but I think there are very different energy demands as well. So why don't you talk a little bit about the energy systems?
You know, the thing I get, and even some goalies that, you know, that buy my programs and follow them, like, you know, they'll buy the program online and follow it remotely, and they'll email and say, there's no cardio in this workout. And, you know, the workout will include a speed session and stamina routines, but it's not a 5-mile run and it's not an hour on the bike. And so there still is that misconception, and it's coaches as well, that, oh, but I'm on the ice the whole time. So if I'm not doing cardio for an hour, I'm not getting what I need because I'm out there the whole game. And so we try to explain to them that, you know, yes, you're on the ice the whole time, but you're not just slowly skating around the ice for an hour. You know, you're not a marathoner. You're a repeat sprinter. And so, you know, and you know from your hockey experience, like if it was the end of practice and I was the coach and I was going to do a little bit of a bagger and I asked you, hey, okay, Brian, you're going to pick for the team. We can either do sideboards for the next 10 minutes or we can just skate laps for 10 minutes. Hopefully you would pick just skating laps because the stop and the start is what's going to kill you, right, if you have to do sideboards. So we do the same thing with the goalies. It's, you know, we work in agility, stop and start, not just moving forward and back, a lot of lateral movement, but also a lot of up-down movement. And by that, I don't mean smashing into their butterfly, like off the ice. They get enough of that on the ice, but just getting that displacement up and down so that, yeah, because they are on their knees and they have to recover, and that's exhausting. So we train them like repeat sprinters, and not marathon runners.
Yeah, interesting. So it's really pretty comparable, you know, to the way you would train a player. It's maybe just a little bit different movement. The demands are just a little bit different. So that's great.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you touched on it just a little bit. I wanted to, and you and I have talked about this before, you've gotten quite a bit into, you know, coaching over the internet. And I know you have Facebook groups, and you make yourself available that way. I think to this point, that's been, at least in, for me, it's something that you're saying, well, you know, I can't really be there. I can't watch them on a consistent basis. I can't tell if they're doing things right or wrong. So it would make me a little bit nervous to start prescribing, training for an athlete if I don't know, if I can't see whether they're, you know, doing a squat properly or some kind of movement properly. How did you end up getting into the, you know, almost like the Facebook coaching, the internet coaching, and what do you see as, you know, the pros and cons to that?
I think the coaching element came, so I created a series of products that are downloadable products. So, you know, somebody buys it, they download it, and they do it or they don't do it, or I have no idea. And we probably all have downloaded a program that we paid for on the internet and just had it sit on the shelf. And so that doesn't make anybody any better. So I wanted a way that I could, more like here at Revolution Conditioning, you know, be there and help motivate them. And that's where more of the Facebook and the private online coaching came in. So there's an accountability, and in the Facebook, there's a group dynamic, which is very nice. And you're right. I was a little leery to do it, but you know, there are people out there putting together their own workouts that they've put together from my website, maybe your website, and bodybuilding.com or something, you know, and it's just a mishmash. So it's like, okay, well, you know, I think this is better than what I know that they're doing as an alternative. And then, you know, I'll just ask an athlete, like, hey, you know what, send me a video of you doing 3 split squats your next workout. And, you know, I had a guy send me a video the other day of his just sideline abduction. And, you know, his pelvis was like, he was lifting his leg way too high. His pelvis was tilting. And this guy plays at a fairly high level. So, you know, doing those touch base with them and see that they're doing it the way I've shown them to do it in a video. So all the exercises I give them a video of me teaching it. But still, even with the teaching element, it sometimes gets a little off the rails. So, you know, we audit what they're doing, give them feedback, They do testing every month and upload videos of them doing the exercises in the test. And, you know, that's how I do it.
So there's a lot of visual, you know, help that goes along with it. And you are checking in visually. I think that's probably the best way you can do it. And I think the most, the best way that you could possibly coach someone remotely.
Yeah, I think so. You know, probably there'll be a time when almost like you train them in the gym, you can train them, you know, using Skype or something. But it's, again, as a strength coach, you only have so many hours in the day. And I like to be able to help, goalies that, you know, and players that live in, got a guy that lives in Hong Kong, guys that live in Iceland, guy, you know, all over the world. And that's, you know, I want to help them.
So you are coaching on the internet, and that's one of those things that kind of, it allows you to coach when you like to coach. You can kind of be a little bit more free with your schedule. What percentage of your time would you say you spend coaching online versus coaching, you know, in your facility?
It depends a little bit time of year. So during the hockey off season, I'm in the facility coaching a lot. I'm actually going through a bit of a transition where I'm trying to coach less in the gym and invest a little more of my time training my coaches that work with me, to bring them along. So I would say, coaching in the gym is about, 20 to 30% of my week, and then running the business of Revolution Sport Conditioning takes up another sort of 20%, and then the online business, you know, including running the business and the coaching, is about 50%. But it's, you know, it's interesting because, so I'm in Canada, so Monday is Thanksgiving, and so the gym will be closed, so I won't have any gym business going on, really, but the online business is still going on. And so the online business gives me more freedom in terms of where I work, but not how much I work. So it's relentless. It's like a 7-Eleven that's open 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. You know, but I could do it from Paris, France, if I wanted to.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I mean, that's a really nice situation, actually. I mean, you think about it, we're all in this business because we love to help people improve, and we like to see the improvement, and that's kind of what gets us up in the morning. So you're obviously doing something that you love to do, and now you've got the freedom to kind of do it from wherever.
And that's, sorry to interrupt, but, you know, that's the thing. Like, I almost don't think of it as work, like, oh, this is work time and this is play time. It's like, these are the hours I have in a day. This is how I choose to spend them. And I choose to spend a lot of that time helping athletes, hockey players, and specifically goalies. I choose to spend some other hours of the day, you know, spending time with my husband and relaxing. But it's, yeah, I you know, it's, yeah, it's just the fabric of my days, and I love it.
So do you find, you know, I know there are lots and lots of resources out there. I know you're working with some coaches that help you help other people. Mm-hmm. You know, how much have you learned in the last several years, or in your, I guess, time online? How much have you learned, and how much have you been, were you doing wrong previously that you've now changed, and obviously you're doing good things now. So how's that learning process been for you?
It's really cool. And you know what? In many ways, it's like being a strength coach because things are always changing. So what we used to do in the gym 5 years ago, we would never do now. And it's the same thing in the online business because, you know, Google will change their algorithm. Facebook will change how they want you to interact with their users. So it's incredible. But it, you know, I think... So I'm always going to be learning it because it's always changing. But it's neat. I love that the message I have, and when I do sell products, they're helping people. You know, it's like I'm not selling cigarettes. I'm selling something that helps people achieve their goals and live their dreams. And so it's because some of the, if you read like a sales page, it's like, oh, but wait, there's more. If you order today, you'll get this and this. And it's like, oh, that's so cheesy. But you know what? It's in all those sales letters because it works. So if I have to write a cheesy, but wait, there's more, to get somebody who's just been cut from AAA hockey for the third year in a row, and now they're thinking, oh, my God, I'm never going to catch up. I'm never going to get drafted or noticed or whatever, to pull the trigger on a $19 hockey training program that's going to help them, then I'll do cheesy, but wait, there's more. You know, so it's, you know, it's like just, it's just, and it's like being an athlete. Do what your coaches tell you. Don't come back and say, oh, but I thought I would do this instead. No, do what your coaches, find the best coach you can find and do what they tell you.
Absolutely. I've, you know, with the business myself, I have found recently that I did a program and have worked with some coaches in the last 6 months here, and it's been tremendously helpful. But there is that occasionally where I feel a little bit like I'm, you know, selling a used car. But it is, I mean, those things are proven to work. And, you know, like you said, if it gets to more people and it helps more people, then that's what allows you to continue doing what you're doing as much as you're doing it. You know, if this was a side job that you did after a full day of teaching, you know, at a school, you wouldn't be able to touch as many people or reach as many people. And you've done an awesome job of, you know, not only having the brick and mortar, more traditional way of training, but also reaching more people by being online.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's been so much fun.
Well, Maria, I'm so glad you're able to join us, and I can't believe it's been so long before we've gotten you on the show here, but we really love your content and everything you do to help out our site, and we're behind you all the way, so if you ever need anything from us, let us know. And, like I said, keep doing the good work. And
all right, that's going to wrap up episode 27 of the Hockey Strength
Podcast.
Yeah,
that's great, Brian. Thanks
so much. Thank you to Maria
Mountain
for joining us on today's episode. Make sure you check out hockeytrainingpro.com and goalietrainingpro.com
and see what Maria has to offer there.
She really has some great things to offer, and it's a tremendous resource for all hockey players.
You're welcome, Brian. Have a great day.
If you're between the pipes, make sure you check her out. We had a great chat with Maria, and we look forward to having some great guests on in the future. Until next time, make sure you train smart and check out HockeyStrengthConditioning.com, the web's greatest resource for training hockey players. Thanks, everybody, and take care. We'll talk to you next time.